T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Morning show on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Hopefully you have an enjoyable evening this evening with your significant other.
Really? No, I didn't want to mess up Roger. Because Roger, this is a great song. I didn't want to mess this one up. But I got you on the next one, though.
Valentine's Day kicking us into a huge weekend. Pitchers and catchers reporting tomorrow. Daytona 500 coming up this weekend, and of course the NBA All-Star Weekend, what with the slam dunk with John Collins, the All-Star Game, it's not called the Rising Stars Game that both Trae Young and John Collins will be in. Used to be the rookie game, now they use first and second year players in the Rising Stars Game, and the skills competition that Trae Young will be part of. So the Hawks are going to be well represented. We heard from Dominique Wilkins earlier that a lot of the Hawks people are going to be there. Travis Schlenk, Dominique's going to be there to root on John Collins and Trae Young as they try and represent this team. Hawks do play tonight against the Knicks at home, last game before, obviously, All-Star Weekend, which starts tomorrow. Hawks and Knicks tonight, 7 o'clock pregame, tip at 7:30 at State Farm Arena. And a chance for you, if you haven't thought about a gift for tonight, you can go to Hawks.com and score a couple of tickets to the game tonight on Valentine's Night at which I'm sure they'll have the kiss cam and everything else out there.
Yeah, somebody's going to get married. I'm curious. AT, how do you, since the All-Star game is so close, if you were the Hawks, how do you handle that? Is that on you to get to Charlotte, or do you catch a, like, can you drive to Charlotte if you want to, or do you have to go with the team or whatever? Or that's on you to get up there on your own?
You mean the players?
Yeah, the players that are playing in the game.
The league handles all of their travel. So normally what they would do is, I think the players are allotted four tickets for the game, and so they are allowed to travel with a player and a guest that's picked up by the league, and then the league handles all of the travel. They fly them to the destination, and even though it's a three-hour drive, if they want to drive, they can do so, but they'll probably fly.
Of course, a lot going on this weekend. There's a big event in town at the College Football Hall of Fame coming up on Saturday night, the inductions into the Black College Hall of Fame in 2019. Seven or eight people are going to be part of this, including Hugh Douglas, who's going to be inducted alongside such notables as former Jets star Emerson Boozer and former 49ers star John Taylor. And if you remember the great 49ers teams when they began their incredible run, John Taylor, star wideout, punt returner of that team. And he joins us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline, talk a little bit about what's going to be happening Saturday night here in town. Morning to you, John.
Good morning.
So, John, has it sunk in for you yet?
Yes, it's sunk in. It's one of those deals where you think you're still dreaming, but it's reality. I put it that way.
So I've been asked this question. So what are you going to wear? Because for me, this is a big deal. I work in the morning. I don't really have to wear anything fancy. But, you know, a lot of my coworkers are telling me I should wear my team colors or something like that, my college colors or something like that. Have you decided on what you were going to – the outfit that you were going to wear to this event?
Actually, I don't have no idea what it's going to be. I'm letting my wife pick it up.
See, I don't have that luxury anymore. So yeah, I missed it.
I'm like this that way. If anything goes wrong, I could blame it on her.
John Taylor played at Delaware State University, and then of course matriculated on to the NFL, where he was part of those great 49er teams when they really kind of began their run and were dominant in the NFL. And what a key role you were on. And John, you look back on those 49er teams and see how many guys have either made, you're going into the Black College Hall of Fame or other Hall of Fames, the NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame. I mean, you were surrounded by so many great players in your career.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, undoubtedly. You know, I remember one year was that 19, what was that, 80, I believe it was 84, when the Niners were playing in the Super Bowl against, was that Cincinnati?
Yeah, Cincinnati, 83, right?
Yeah, 83, yeah. I was in college, and it was so funny. A lot of people don't realize that me and Dwight Hicks, former defensive back with the Niners, mm-hmm. we both came out of the same high school. And in 83, I'm in college watching him play in the Super Bowl. 3 years, well, four, almost 5 years later, here I am playing in the Super Bowl.
Speaking of that, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No,
you got it.
No, go ahead.
Now, what was it like? You know, we're talking about another guy who came from a small school, Jerry Rice. What was it like getting to the 49ers and knowing that you had another HBU star that was there with you? What was that like playing with Jerry Rice?
Well, it was one of those deals. When we were in college, you know, it was so funny. Every week we would play, and, you know, everybody would be talking about different stats and this. And, man, you had a good game this week, but, damn, there's a receiver from Mississippi Valley that had X amount of catches and X amount of yardage this week. And it was so funny because, see, Jerry came from a throwing offense, you mm-hmm. know. I came from an offense that was the wing tee. I might have maybe three passes, four passes a game, where in Mississippi Valley, they're throwing just about every play, you know. And it was so funny when I got there, it was like, okay, am I really where I think I'm at? You know what I mean? Because a few years earlier, I'm laying in college, looking at it on television. And now, 5 years later, here I am playing in the same game that I laid there and watched a couple of years back, you know. And now for me to be playing with, like you said, Jerry Rice, Joe Montana, Ronnie Lott, Roger Craig, it was just one of those deals where it was like you didn't believe it, you know, especially with me coming from a small school, Delaware State. Nobody really heard of Delaware State other than 1 year they got beat by Portland State 105-0. That's probably the only thing that people heard at that time, you know. So for me, it was just an unbelievable experience for me.
John Taylor spent a number of years, about a decade in San Francisco as a great wide receiver and a punt returner, made the Pro Bowl in 1989, being inducted into the Black College Hall of Fame at the College Hall of Fame on Saturday night alongside Hugh Douglas. And, John, one of the things that Hugh and I have talked about is, you know, you're going to be down here at the College Hall of Fame. I don't know, have you ever been here to the College Hall of Fame?
No, I haven't.
You're going to love it. It is spectacular is the only word to describe the College Hall of Fame in Atlanta. But you're only going to be here for, not only physically for a day, but your plaque's only going to be here for a moment because your plaque about to be up and moved from here in Atlanta to Canton, Ohio.
Yeah, that's the deal that, hey, I mean, like I said, coming from a small school like Delaware State, that's something that you would have never expect, you know. I mean, I'm honored. I'm really, truly honored, you know. It's one of those unbelievable moments. I mean, there's many guys that I played against, that I played with, that are deserving of such an honor also, you know. So for me, it's just an unbelievable experience.
Isn't it kind of weird when you think about all the historical Black college and university players that are in the Hall of Fame? You look at the list of all the players that have played at historical Black college and universities that we're on that list. When you look at that list, you got like Deacon Jones, Walter Payton, Shannon Sharpe, and guys like that. Doesn't that feel kind of weird to you?
Yeah, it does, because here's a name that I'll throw you back. When I was playing at Delaware State, we used to play against Bethune-Cookman.
Uh-huh.
Guess who their head coach was? Larry Little.
Yeah.
Former guard for the Miami Dolphins. And it was so funny. We would come out there, right? And I remember, because I remember watching him growing up. And I was standing there, and we were warming up that game, and I was standing there looking at him. And they were like, "What you looking at?" I said, "Man, do you believe that's Larry Little, who was the offensive guard for the Miami Dolphins the year that they went undefeated?" They go, "Huh?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Man, can you believe that? We're actually here playing, get ready to play against his team." We used to have some good rivals with them also. You know, one year we would kill them, then we go down to Bethune-Cookman, we lose. It was back and forth. But it was just ironic to me, you know, like I said, here I am at a small Black college, and here their head coach is a former professional NFL player. You know, it was one of those. It was one of those deals where it was just, to me, it was unbelievable. You know what I mean? It's something you see on TV growing up. Man, I wouldn't mind being there. I wouldn't mind playing there, da-da-da-da-da. And then it actually turns out that way for you.
You know, speaking of the wide receivers of today, you know, you got the issues with A.B., Antonio Brown, and him wanting to leave Pittsburgh and everything. What do you think about today's wide receivers and the way that they play the game?
To me, first of all, the game is a completely different game. You know, I mean, I understand we're trying to make the game safer, that whole aspect, but I'm not lying. I say to myself when I was watching these games, man, I wish I was still playing. Shit, I might be able to have 2,000-3,000 yards a year. You know, with the way the game is going now, you can't touch a player this way. You can't hit him this way. And in my mind, it's like, what are we doing? You know, this is a game. Yes, it's a violent game, but we all understand what we're signing up for. You know, I sat there and I watched a game this past year where I listened to them make a call, hitting a defenseless receiver. I'll never forget when I first heard that, hitting a defenseless receiver. And in my mind, it's like, okay, you can make that call every play because a receiver is always defenseless. He's looking for the ball. He's never looking for a defensive back. And if he is looking for the defensive back, he shouldn't be a receiver. So in my mind, it's like, what are we doing? What are we doing? It's almost like now, if I was a defensive back, it'd be almost like I'd either tweet or email the receiver, hey, I'm about to hit you, so keep your helmet up. Don't lower your shoulder. Make sure you keep your helmet up because I'm going to go low. I don't want to get called for a penalty. You know, and it's like, come on. I mean, if we really look at this game, you can always make a number of those calls because that's just part of the game. I mean, you're a defensive back. I mean, you were a defensive player, Hugh, and I'm an offensive player. If I see you coming at me, the first thing, my natural instinct is to lower my shoulder.
Yeah,
same thing with you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So the helmets are going to collide. Because my shoulder pads are going to roll off your shoulder pad, helmets are going to hit. That's evident, you know. And I look at some of these calls that are being made, man. People are losing a lot of games behind some of these calls, you know.
Right, yeah. And John Taylor joining us, going to be inducted into the Black College Hall of Fame on Saturday night. John, we only have about a minute left, and I got to ask you a quick question. I don't want to worry about the New England Patriots of now. We'll give them their own dynasty here. Back in the 90s, the NFL was dominated by two teams, your Niners and the Cowboys, right? I mean, and so you're in the same conference. You won, like, I don't know, 10 Super Bowls in a row, it seemed, between the two of you. Who was the better, who was better, in your opinion, and who was the more dominant team of the 90s? Was it the Niners or was it the Cowboys, or were you even?
I would say to me, of course, you know, I got to take the edge, the Niners.
I wouldn't say the Cowboys.
But, you know, it was pretty much, to me, it was pretty much equal. You know, we'd have those rivals back and forth. You know, I often say, if you look at the game, if we played the game today from the 90s with the rules that are going on today, it would be hard to tell who would win. Because to me, it'd be basically left up to the officials. It could be that call that you make, you know. I did some of these rules now, man, just got me baffled. I mean, it's like I looked at the part of the Super Bowl that Sunday, and the defensive back for the Los Angeles Rams came up and hit Burkhead in the backfield. I guess it was almost like a middle screen or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up and he almost like bear hugged him and took him down to the ground, and they threw a penalty. And you know how they bring the official referee in from New York, and he said, well, yeah, he has to let him make a football move.
I know. What?
In my mind, I said, what? A football move?
Right.
Wait a minute. What if he needed a half a yard? I'm supposed to let him catch the ball and then make a move first and then go tackling?
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy.
It's crazy anymore, man. And like I said, you know, with the receivers that they have nowadays, I would love to be playing. And then, you know, the game has changed so much, too, on the aspect of offenses and defenses. Now, just about every play from the offense, how many teams has a fullback? Not many.
Mm-mm.
You know, everything's turned into the air.
Right.
You know?
Yep, it's an air
game. Which is a more exciting game to me, you know? Most people want to see scoring, you know? Everybody asks me, what happened to the Super Bowl on Sunday? I said, Super Bowl? There was a game played Sunday, you know? Because you had two high-powered teams that scoring over 20 points a game, but you get to the big dance and you can only score one touchdown between the pair?
Mm.
A total of 16 points for that whole game?
Well, you put up 55 and one, and what against San Diego? 59, or I forget anymore. I mean, you crushed Denver, you crushed San Diego. You had great teams, and now that all comes to four for you, John. When you and you go into the Black College Hall of Fame on Saturday night here in Atlanta, and I know you're looking forward to it. Congratulations, by the way.
I really appreciate it, guys.
Well, thank you, John. Do appreciate your taking time, and I know you're going to have a wonderful time on Saturday night. All right, so you're going to have a wonderful time coming up in November if you're the lucky person who wins tickets to see Elton John.
Sir Elton John.
Elton John.
Call now, 404-741-0929, and win tickets to see Elton John live from Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Caller number six is going to win a pair of tickets to see Elton John. They say the final tour, but don't believe
they're mad about that, huh, John?
Because that's what they said last November when I went to the final tour.
You know what they call moist behind that.
And they have another tour, which apparently is going to be the final tour. I don't know. Just go enjoy Elton John. But don't buy this whole final tour thing. Okay? Just saying. A former Georgia Tech star is taking lots of heat. I mean lots of heat on Twitter. Lots. And frankly, it probably well-deserved. We'll tell you who and why.
And stream us anytime.
Using the internet.
Stay connected to Atlanta Sports 24-7. Only at radio.com and the radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
We love songs.
Hey, Dad, was Paul McCartney in a group before Wings?
Yeah, a lot of people didn't know that.
Hmm. Yeah.
Or who's Paul McCartney?
Or who's Paul McCartney? Do you know Paul McCartney owns the right to a happy birthday? So in theory, every time you sing it, he gets a penny. But nobody pays him, obviously. Weird facts. Stupid facts. I think he owns like all of Michael Jackson's library now, doesn't he? I mean,
reverse.
Yeah, Michael Jackson owned his.
I know that they buy each other's libraries and own all of them. I mean,
They fell out behind that, didn't they?
Yes.
Paul was not happy about
that. Mike bought the Beatles catalog.
That's what it was. Sports Radio 99 in the game, I knew it was something like that.
I bought your songs.
I owe them now.
I bought your songs.
There's a lot going on. You know, Matt Kuchar played at Georgia Tech, was a techie, and, of course, is one of the most popular players on tour in the PGA because when he goes around you, everybody likes to go, coo, for Matt Kuchar. And he's actually, his game has actually improved over as he's grown as an older player. Won a couple. He already won once this year. He won late last year. And late last year, in the kind of the season after, you know, it all ends after the FedEx Championship, he was in Mexico and won a big tournament down there. Won $1.3 million.
Got a nice little payday.
For a Mayakoba Classic in Mexico last November. All right, so he wins $1.3 million. For this particular event, he does a rent-a-caddy from down there in Mexico. He doesn't take his caddy. Get a rent-a-caddy. Now, most players take their caddies everywhere with them, but it's kind of the off-season stuff. And he just went down with a rent-a-caddy named David Garral Ortiz, a local guy in Mexico. Well, the story comes out in the last couple of days. I don't know how it surfaced because this happened last November, but it does. And Matt Kuchar is getting slammed all over the place because he apparently paid this caddy after winning $1.3 million. He paid the caddy $5,000.
See, I read that story, John, and I understand that when you caddy for somebody, their going rate is like 10% of the winnings.
Especially if you win, it's about 10%
bonus. Yeah, it's about 10%. But reading the story now, I'm not condoning what he did because I don't think I would have did that. But it says in the story that they agreed to him making $3,000, and if he wins, it's up to $4,000. So he gave him $5,000. That was how the story – that's how I read the story. And so it was one of those things where if that's the agreement, I understand what the etiquette, golf etiquette is, but they had an agreement. And I, and he's not his regular caddy, and they don't have a relationship. Again, I'm not condoning it, but they had a verbal agreement. They agreed on it. Now, as a man who, if I won, I would feel kind of obligated to, you know, kick him out a little bit more bread, but he didn't do that. And he said at one point he offered him, after he won, he offered him $15,000, and he turned it down.
Right.
So it's one of those things where, I mean, in the etiquette of golf, that's not a cool thing to do. But if dude turned down 15 grand, man, that you gave me.
But did he turn down 15 grand because he was expecting a lot more than 15? No, I'm not taking 15. You owe me 130.
Yeah, he was. But if that was the case, you should say something. I would have said something right there. Yo, dog, this ain't, I know we agreed upon this, but you won. You won. You best to give me my bread. You know what I mean? It don't sound like that was the conversation that was had. Instead, he waited to see was he going to do the right thing. Obviously, when he made the deal and he offered you that 15 grand, he had no intention of giving you any more than what you agreed to. So listen, if you felt like you should have got some more money, you should have said something immediately. Squeaky mouth don't get fed.
Well, the caddy, Ortiz, said, he, meaning Kuchar, treated me very well. I am only disappointed by how it all finished.
Okay, well, if you're disappointed, you should have said that the day of.
Can you say that the day of, though? Is it etiquette for that? I'm asking because he was filling in. Is it etiquette for him to say that? I'm asking. I don't know.
I'm not a golf player, but I know I get real funny when it comes to my money. And if I feel like you owe me some bread, now if I feel like you should give me more money, I'm gonna say that.
Look at your size and look at that caddy though.
But that ain't got nothing to do with it.
It has a lot to do with it.
It doesn't, Daryl. That it doesn't.
That man is just trying to get on, Hugh.
But listen, this is the point that I'm making. If you have a verbal agreement with somebody, and you verbally agree to that, as a man, you stick to that rule. You stick to that verbal agreement. And on top of that, he gave him $1,000 more. What? Now, if you
what's a thousand to a million? No.
Wait a minute. 1.3. Listen to what I'm saying. I hear everything that y'all are saying, and I'm not disagreeing with you. But what I'm saying is, if you have a verbal agreement with somebody, and you agree to that, and he gave you that above what he offered you, then you really don't have a case. If you don't say anything that day, then you don't have a case. Say anything right then and there, you don't have a leg to stand on. And on top of that, you turned down 15 grand.
Well, but do we know if I don't know how caddies are paid, meaning – are you paid later, or if you're paid the day after the tournament ends? So, does anybody know?
I don't know.
I will say this, that it is standard 10%, and if you are a caddy on tour, you can make some money. Rory McIlroy's caddy was a guy named J.P. Fitzgerald, and they said that in the height of Rory's season when he won the most money, that by Forbes said that J.P. Fitzgerald made the most a caddy's ever made. And in that one year, the caddy made $1.65 million. Okay? The caddy made $1.65 million as a caddy.
To what you just said, again, I do not play golf, but if you said the standard, if you win, is 10%.
Correct.
If you're in a negotiation and you tell him that, okay, say if you do this caddy, if I'm in this tournament, I give you $3,000 a caddy. My next question would be, what if you win? Am I going to get that 10%? That should have been negotiated. If you feel that way and you had a verbal agreement or y'all had a written agreement, whatever it was, you should have negotiated that. Because that would be the first thing to come out. Hey, yo, dog, what if you win? Do I get the 10% earnings that you get? I would have asked that question.
All right, so I'll just take Fitzgerald for an example. So in that year, McIlroy won the FedEx Cup here in Atlanta, right? He got the $10 million bonus. He also won the tournament at the same time, $1.53 million. The caddy that weekend, Fitzgerald, got $1.05 million, okay, and then 10% of the $9 million cash bonus back to him.
Okay, but y'all assuming
another $900,000.
But y'all assuming that this verbal agreement that they had, that he was adhering by the old caddy rules, like his main caddy rules. Don't sound like that was the case in this story.
But, see, here's the thing. Whether you think he's right or wrong, Hugh, he's getting pounded for it, I'm telling you.
No, he's getting killed for it, but my thing is this. If you agree to something and if you don't negotiate that part of it, then that's on you. And if you don't say anything about it the day of, that's on you. And you turn down that $15,000. Like you, like now you're sitting there. When you turn down that $15,000, you're sitting there to me hoping that he's gonna do the right thing.
Right.
Obviously he's not, because he just offered you $15,000. So if you don't say anything, and if you don't take the $15,000, who lost?
Now Kuchar's going to hear it though at Riviera this week. You know, he's going to be, people are going to be, hey Matt, I caddy for you, $10 an
hour. He doesn't care. That money's already accounted for wherever it is allocated.
That's what I'm saying. But see, that's my thing. If you feel that strongly about it, don't let somebody else fight your battle for you. You should have said something while you were standing right there in front of him.
I understand to a degree what you're saying, but Matt Kuchar knows what golf etiquette is.
No,
if his regular caddy was there, he knew he would have to cough up the 10%.
He does. And do you think his regular caddy would have let that fly?
Oh, no.
That's my point. Dude, whoever he was, should have said, yo, dog, what if you win? Like, before I go into anything like that, I'm going to ask those questions. What if the variables change in this equation? What if the variables change? What if you win? What about my cut?
But to John's point, I definitely want to see his next match, because now that you mention it, the heckling is going to be fierce.
And one of the most popular players on tour, and he's going to
give me my money.
He's going to take a hit for it.
See, that's probably why I'm in the position I'm in right now. I'm what they Japan say don't know how to act in certain grown-up situations.
I used to caddy at a pro-am at Riviera where they're playing this week once. I gave him $100 after the round, and he was not happy.
I can see you doing that, John.
So I had to give him another $100. He still wasn't happy. I'm like, dude, I just gave you $200 to carry my bag. I'm just me.
But you probably came out there big willying, though. Had some little pimento cheese sandwiches that you liked to eat. You probably brought a couple of those on the day.
$200, though, for a caddy?
He was probably out there big willying.
Okay, whatever. Valentine's Day. You're not going to make everybody happy with money. I'm just saying, okay? Just keep that in mind. John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You need to listen on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Valentine's Day morning show brought to you by this hour, Renner's Warehouse. What's the best Valentine's Day song? Is it like Love Stinks? Do people do that? Do people play the ones that are like the heartache songs, you know?
On Valentine's Day?
Uh-huh.
Some people do.
Yeah. Love Stinks was Jay Giles, right?
I believe so, but we can look that up on our good friend Google.
No, I think that was Adam Sandler, wasn't it? Love Stinks?
No.
Jay Giles, Love Hurts.
No, that's Nazareth.
Okay.
Yeah, that was Nazareth. Love Hurts. Love Stinks is a different song, yeah, but I think it was Jay Giles, I think, right?
Hugh.
What? I'm saying.
That was Adam Sandler.
No, but he has a song, something like that, Love Stinks. Oh, wait a minute. Was that from the movie?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't sing it on the air.
Yeah, I know. Why didn't you tell us? What is the best Valentine's Day song?
I don't know. I think it's relative to that person and what song means something to you.
I think One Woman Man is a great Valentine's Day song.
You know, we can take a couple calls
by David
on this.
Hollister.
We have a minute.
We'll go out with that, Hugh.
404-741-0929. Maybe you can call us and tell us what the best Valentine's song is. We probably got to because it's not going to be one of those heartache songs like, you know, it's a heartache, not about a heartache. I mean, oh, my God, that thing. It drove me crazy. What was the R. Kelly song where he was?
We don't do R. Kelly anymore.
Yeah, John. As much as that hurts me,
we don't do R. Kelly.
I got to get him up out of here, John. And you know I love him, but I had to get him out of here, John.
Yeah, moving right along.
There's nothing to see here.
We don't do that one anymore.
Sorry, Ara.
Let's go back to Captain and Tennille.
Yeah,
love will keep us together, John.
Yeah, that right there kind of fell.
We had to get the Ara up out of here.
We had to get him up out of here, man. He gone.
Sorry, Ara.
Yeah, he go.
I don't know what the best song is. I don't know.
How about Endless Love, Lionel Richie?
Two hearts.
Oh, wait. Hold up.
Two hearts.
Why that deep side, John?
As one.
John has some bad memories for that song.
My life has just begun.
Bad memories of that movie. Oh, my God.
That was a great song. My endless love.
I love you so much, I'm going to burn your house down. Oh, you know.
Two hearts. There you go.
You were going to keep singing it until I played it. You make me sick sometimes.
My first love.
My first love.
Well, I said this yesterday. Just don't play Reunited. Please don't do that.
I wasn't going to play that.
Somebody's about to play this tonight and get down on one knee.
And play they, Endless Love?
And pledge their undying love to somebody.
Nobody today knows this song.
Just a few people. Some of the old hearts, the old souls.
Oh, okay,
old souls.
Some older man will be singing to
some
auntie.
Old souls, yes.
One in a Million by Larry Graham.
They might sing that. Or they might sing One in a Million by Neo.
Well, because, you know, I mean, what are the wedding songs? I started thinking about wedding songs. You think about
Shower Me With Your Love, or All Black Weddings.
Forever and Ever Amen, right?
Yeah.
Or what's that John Michael Montgomery, the I Swear, that they play at every wedding? I Swear.
How are we Valentine's Day to wedding just that quick? Like that, well, because the announcement is going to be today.
You know,
I'm just saying. Yeah, people get married on Valentine's Day, too.
They get hitched up. I mean, I don't know. I don't mean... They get, you know, I bet you a dollar that the Vegas wedding chapels are
going to be busy.
Packed today.
Always. It's always. And the divorce people, they're going to be trying to get a divorce the next day. It's always how it works.
Because, you know, at one of those wedding chapels, I swear, speaking of I Swear, is true. You can drive through like a McDonald's and you're sitting in your car.
In Vegas.
Yes. And the dude will lean out the window with the wedding certificate, look at the car and bless both of you and hand you the certificate. You in your car.
I don't know about this one. My man Eugene Ridden wrote in and said, "Life Jennings must be nice." Would that be considered a love song? Must be nice, even when the 20 stops spinning.
No, but you know what? He'll still be there with her. So that is a beautiful song.
I guess so. What about this one? If Tomorrow Never Comes by Garth Brooks. Never heard that one.
That's a nice song. Maybe that's
why. Tomorrow Never Comes.
Yeah.
And you know Bobby Caldwell. What you won't do. Do for love. You tried everything.
All right, Hugh.
But you won't
we're not sending you to the Masked Singer at all.
No.
Wouldn't have to sing. I'd be auto-tuned. I sound
Teddy,
so much
me
better.
Teddy, help me out here. Teddy, give me a song here.
Hugh, you do the quit singing, bro.
Stop anyway, it.
you kill every cat in Denver. I would like the best song that I like is Fire and Desire by Rick James and Tina Marie.
That's the one.
That's a good one.
Is that on the anthology that you didn't give back?
Yeah, that was on the anthology. That was on the Rick James anthology CD.
Brian's a cat, and Brian, give me a song here, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What up? Happy Valentine's Day, I guess. I don't know if I should say it to
guy. You can say it. It's a festive day.
It's a festive day. Brian?
What's your song?
Can you hear us, Brian?
Brian, did you get nervous?
Yeah, hey, you heard me walking.
You guys there?
Yeah, we're here.
Hey, sorry about that. Hey, you guys are killing me, man. This is great. Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You.
And I
was the Bodyguard. Parton. This was Dolly Parton.
Was Dolly Parton first.
And then she did it. They both made it a hit. Right?
And Whitney came through and just smashed it.
Oh, yeah, I know. I mean, I'm just saying, I think Dolly wrote this song.
This is Dolly Parton's song.
Though. Yeah, but we know Whitney, Dolly made it a hit, and then Whitney just killed it.
Yeah, Whitney killed this one.
Yep. Chris is with John and Hugh. Chris, tell me now. Hey, Chris.
Yes, sir. What's going on, man?
Hey, man. Tell me what it is.
What's your song?
Lenny Williams, Cause I Love You.
Cause I love
you. He's snapping on that one. That's a good one.
God,
we had to turn Hugh's mic off right then.
That was a great one, though.
All right, that's the first time in the entire show I've ever had to take my headphones off.
Oh, how about, can we put Teddy Pendergrass in there? I Miss You.
All right, Wes, bail us out.
That would be Harold Melvin in the Blue Notes.
Yeah, you're right. We had this argument before, and I always say Teddy Pendergrass. But
you
it
got,
was
Wes?
Harold Melvin in the Blue Notes. You're right.
Hey, Wes.
Hey, y'all forgetting about the Commodores, man. Come on. Just to Be Close to You or Still.
Oh, this is my favorite song right here.
They polished her all day, every day.
One woman man.
If I'm going to do the Commodores, I'm going to do Sail On, because that's the way I'm feeling right now.
Come on, y'all got to do Just to Be Close to Me.
That's a good one, too.
Y'all remember that?
Hey, well, this is a better singer than you, no offense. Many flashbacks come to
mind of the wild and crazy.
Got time for one more here? Sean. Hey, Sean, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, I got two songs. The Commodores, Once, Twice, Three Times a Lady. And On the Wings of Love. I can't remember who sings it, but that's
Jeffrey Osborne.
Yeah, Jeffrey Osborne.
Everybody's got a song. And I'm going to just stick with Love Stinks by Jay Giles.
No, this is my jam right here, though. I became a one-woman man.
Hey, we need to break one woman.
I know, and we are. Tanidra.
All the nights I used to beat it up.
No, nothing.
Stop!
I just asked her.
That's the
Come
song.
On, Tanidra. You got to have one real quick before we get a break.
Reasons.
Okay. I'm never going to be able to play any more music after this again.
Yeah, exactly.
All right,
you
Rick
just
and John,
destroyed
top of the hour on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.